We have two more tunes for the road after today. Next week will be Alan Jackson, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning. I sang with Alan Jackson on the road for about 3 years. Most of you don't know that. And then when the car tape player ate my tape, I had to sing with somebody else. 2 weeks from today will be my main man, Bob, that was on bass, singing Grand Funk Railroad, You're Some Kind of Wonderful. Only we turned it into Jesus is Some Kind of Wonderful. So that'll be 2 weeks from today. Today's Talk to Me. I heard Al Green sing it. I heard Stevie Nicks sing it. I heard Mickey Gilley sing it. All kind of singers have used the title Talk to Me. I liked Al Green's version. He's smooth. He says, talk to me, talk to me. I love the things you have to say. Talk to me in your own very special way. And today, that's our subject. We want God to talk to us. And I believe he does. I just believe we're not very good at discerning when he's speaking. So, you become familiar with someone, you know their voice immediately. Some of you could call me and say, hey, Mark, and that's all you have to say. And I know, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. Some of you call me, and you could talk to me for an hour, and I'd have to say, now, who is this again? We grow familiar with voices, sounds, people, things. So we're going to do a little test this morning. Work with me here. I'm going to give you a sound clip. You tell me what it is, all right? It's not a competition. Don't be shouting it out as soon as you know it. Let it play through, and then y'all tell me what it is. Here we go. All right? Andy Griffith, there he is. Sheriff Taylor right there. All right, here's another one. Man, that makes me want to run steps and punch some of you right in the mouth. Fires me up. All right, here's another one. Whoa. Wait till it's done, or you'll be swimming with the fishes. Who is it? There's the guy. All right, here's another one.
I'll be back.
Terminator or Schwarzenegger, we'll accept both. Here's another one.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Clint Eastwood or Dirty Harry. What's his last name? Dirty Harry Callahan. Nice.
Very famous. A new broom? That does it. You can take your new broom and sweep your own floor. I read some.
Not Sylvester. Not Elmer Fudd. Daffy Duck. Bonus points. Middle name. In several episodes, Daffy Duck introduced himself by his full name, including a middle name. Bonus points. Somebody gets this, I will have Bob Sloan take you to lunch today. Anybody? Daffy Dumas Duck. DDD. All right, here's another.
I must admit, I didn't think much of Andy the first time I laid eyes on him.
Man, oh man.
He had a quiet way about him. A walk and a talk that just wasn't normal around here.
That is incorrect. That is incorrect. That is Frank Caliendo doing an impersonation of Morgan Freeman. What's wrong with you all? That was clear to me the first time I heard it. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know God's voice? If he calls, is it, hey, you, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, that's God? Or does he have to talk to you for an hour and you say, now, who is this I'm talking to? Now, don't get me wrong. God is more than capable of making himself known. I wish I had the experiences that Moses did so I could look at a bush that wasn't burning up and realize, man, this is serious. I need to listen to the voice coming from that bush. That doesn't happen in my life. I don't have a burning bush. I don't have a vision. I don't have a dream. I don't have angels speaking to me. And I've never heard the audible voice of God. So how do I know if it's God who's speaking to me? Because church people say to me all the time, and I've said it myself, well, I just felt led to do this. Led by what? God has put it in my heart to do this. I feel the Spirit nudging me to do this. So the question becomes, how do you know that that was God? not some bad egg rolls that kept you up at night. How do you know? And if it was God, why doesn't he speak to everybody else so we can all say, yeah, we heard the same thing? How you know? Serial killers throughout America's history have used the God told me defense to get off from serious crimes that they've committed. The worst of the worst is this man right here, Pedro Alonso Lopez. Killed 113 girls. Spent his life in prison, claiming to be a follower of Jesus. And in court, his defense was, God told me to kill every single one of them girls to save them from future pain and heartache that life brings. Convinced that God had spoke to him. How do you know you're hearing from God? Had a man at my church, his name was Frank, and another man, Bill, told Frank, God told me, Bill said, that he thinks you should be a missionary in Africa. That's what Bill said to Frank. So Frank comes to me and says, Mark, what do you think about that? I said, I don't know. Honestly, I think God would have spoke to you. And if you go, you better take him with you so you know when to come back. How do we know? How do we know we're hearing from God? Poor old Evelyn Gratzer has not been hearing as well as she used to. And so Stanley was concerned about it. And he went to the doctor and he said, listen, my wife, I'm almost having to shout to get her to hear me. And Stanley, when he talks normally, is a shout anyway, so you can understand how loud this is getting. And he says, Doc, what do I do? And the doc says, here's what you do. Here's the formula. You stand 40 feet away from her, and in a normal conversational tone, you say something and see if she hears you. If not, go to 30 feet, then 20, then 10, then right behind her till you get a response. That makes sense. So he tried it. He went home. She's at the kitchen sink. Her back's to Stanley. 40 feet away, he says, what's for dinner tonight? What's for dinner tonight? Nothing. No response. So he goes up to 30 feet. What's for dinner tonight? No response. Goes 20 feet. What's for dinner tonight? Nothing. 10 feet closer. What's for dinner tonight? Nothing. Gets right behind Evelyn and in her ear and says, what's for dinner tonight? And she says, dummy, for the fifth time, I said lasagna. Maybe the problem's a little closer to home than we think. I love this story in the Old Testament. This is an awesome story. It's got a lot of angles, but we're talking about hearing from God, so that's the angle we'll take today. But a little bit of background. God's people had just wandered in the desert for 40 years, which is a drop in the bucket to the time they spent in Egypt. Not been easy being an Israelite. So now they're in the Promised Land. They don't have a king yet, and we're introduced to a young lady named Hannah. And many of you can relate to Hannah. I've heard other gals in churches that I've served in pray the same prayer that Hannah prayed. It's a simple prayer. The prayer says this, God, please God, give me a child. And so she prayed that prayer every time she went to the tabernacle with her husband. Same prayer, please God, give me a child. Well, she upped the ante. One day she said, if you give me a child, I will make sure that he's dedicated to special and specific service for the rest of his life. So she made a deal with God. You give me this, I'll do this. If you ever make a deal with God, and I have, he will keep his end of the bargain. You better make sure you do. And so Hannah said, give me a child, and I'll send him into ministry for the rest of his life. God answers her prayer. She gets a baby. She names him Samuel. You know what Samuel means, right? God has heard. Pretty cool name. So she takes little Sammy when he's 3 to the tabernacle because she promised that she would dedicate him, and she gives him to the high priest Eli, and she says, you're going to stay here. He's going to raise you. You're going to be a prophet because I promised God I'd give you up. Great gal, Hannah. And that's where this story picks up, and man, it's pretty cool. 1 Samuel 1:27, Hannah says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. I had an old Bible at home. I don't have it anymore. It fell apart, which is a good thing, I think. And I have 4 sonogram pictures of my 4 children tucked away in this prayer of Hannah's to remind me that my children should be dedicated to the Lord as well. And so should yours. Every time God gives us the precious gift of a child, our first response should be, I'm going to do all I can to make sure that child knows who you are and follows you and serves you. So we get to the story where God's voice comes into play. And I want you to hear this. Let me start with 1 Samuel 3:1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. In other words, he wasn't doing the burning bush thing anymore. There were not many visions. So God's not speaking the way he did before. So here comes Eli and Samuel. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. Check this out, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." So here we have the voice of God and someone not recognizing it, and someone older and wiser and more experienced who's talked to God finally realizes, you know what? It ain't me talking to you. It must be the Lord. So I want to talk to you this morning about how do we know that God is speaking to us? Because most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. That's true of most of the people in my life. They're not listening with the intent to grasp or understand. They're already hearing what they want to say back to you. If that quote doesn't work, how about John Wayne? Maybe he will. "You're short on ears but long on mouth." Can you get that? I wonder if God ever thinks that. "Man, I've created these people. I gave them 2 ears, 1 mouth, and my goodness." Listen, here's what confuses the voice of God. Modern philosophies that I reject, completely reject. Our kids in colleges across this country are being taught these 4 philosophies. The newer is always truer. I couldn't reject that more if I rejected it every minute of every day. The newer is always truer. That's what they're taught. That is not true. Not true. Only what is recent is decent. That's what they're being taught. That's so far away from the Word of God that you couldn't get any farther away. Every shift of ground is a step forward. That's what they're being taught. Not true. My feet are on the solid rock of Jesus. It's not shifting sand. So that's not true. And then a 4th philosophy that I reject, every latest word must be the last word on any subject. That could not be further from the truth. God's word should be the last word on any subject. Amen? Listen to this quote from Hitler. And it gets personal. "By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell or an extremely wretched life as paradise. If you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it'll be believed. The great mass of people will more easily fall victim to a big lie than a small one." And here's how he sums it up. What good fortune for governments that people do not think. And he's right. God wants more from us than that. So I'm going to give you some filters on how to know if it's God talking to you. And you're going to say, "Oh, here he goes again, telling us we need to read the Bible." Well, if you don't want to hear that, you don't want to hear me, because I will pound that drum until Jesus comes again. Filter number 1, if it's God you're hearing, what he tells you will never contradict the Bible. Do you believe that? There goes 75% of all the messages that televangelists preach every time they get in the pulpit. If it's God you're hearing from, it will never contradict the Bible. I'm no counselor, but I've sat across the desk from many people with many different issues and coming from different situations in their lives, and sometimes it leaves me scratching my head and incredibly disappointed and depressed. Someone said to me once, "I've been praying about whether I should give money to the church because my budget at home is tight, and I feel like God is telling me not to give until it gets better. To which I immediately said, that ain't God. That ain't God. I mean, I don't know who you're hearing from, but that ain't God. He's already spoken on that subject. He will not change his mind. It doesn't matter your situation, your circumstances, your culture. God will not change. That ain't God. And as if that one couldn't be topped, some guy says to me, I prayed about going or not going to church, and it felt like God was telling me to stay home. That ain't God. Ain't God. I don't know who you're hearing from. I don't know what voice it is in your head. That ain't God. Here's one that'll never be topped. I can't believe he said it with a straight face. I've been praying about leaving my wife for 30 years because I met someone else. Seems like God has put her here for me, and he's involved in all these circumstances. He wants me to be happy. I believe he's answering my prayer and telling me that I need to leave her. Listen, you do what you want, but that ain't God. That ain't God. About came over the desk on that. That ain't God. And it must be terrible to be this holy and gracious and good and to be made to look this. That ain't God saying that. He's already spoke on that subject. And you can know assuredly that that ain't God. Listen, just because someone claims to be speaking for God doesn't mean they're speaking for God. Write that down and remember it. Just because someone claims to be speaking for God doesn't mean they're speaking for God. It's the old joke. It's the only one I know that fits this point. The guy's walking through an insane asylum. He looks in a room with the doors open, and there's a guy on his bed shaking his hips saying, ain't nothing but a hound dog. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm Elvis Presley. He said, no, you're not. He said, yeah, I am, baby. I'm Elvis Presley. I said, no, you're not. Yeah, I am. Well, why do you think that? Because God told me. And as soon as he said that, a voice from down the hallway yelled out, no, I didn't. Just because you claim to be speaking for God? Listen, God told me to tell you all some things this morning. He did. God told me to tell you becoming a part of the fellowship of the church is vital to your spiritual health. God told me to tell you that. That's God. God told me to tell you, test him with your giving and see if he will not pour out blessings that you have never imagined. God told me to tell you that. God told me to tell you that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. God told me to tell you that. God told me, he spoke to me, told me to tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. God told me to tell you that. God told me to tell you that heaven is for real, hell is for sure, and eternity is forever. Amen? So you believe that God told me to tell you that. Amen? All right? God told me to tell you that I'd be a better preacher if someone here would give me season tickets to IU basketball games. I'm not smiling. Why don't you believe me? How come you amen the first five and all I get is laughter on? Because you're already using the filter of God's word. Here's where this gets right in your kitchen. If that's the first filter to knowing I'm hearing from God is what he said in the Bible and you don't know the Bible, you ain't never gonna hear from God. If that's the first test, okay, is this God or not? And you don't know the book? You don't know what he's already said? You're not already familiar with his voice? I'm sorry. I doubt that you're ever going to know that it's God. He didn't really tell me to tell you to give me IU tickets. I wrote it in the margin of my Bible so I could tell you it was in my Bible. Because I do know for a fact, and I've shared this with you before, I love having biblical proof that Jesus was a Hoosier fan. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Right? Listen, if it's God you're hearing, it'll never contradict the Bible. I want to challenge you. Do this with me, okay? Here's my challenge to you. Pick a Bible, pick a time, and pick a place this week. Pick a Bible, pick a time. It's that simple. Pick a Bible, pick a time, pick a place. Do that with me this week. We'll just 1 week at a time. And then next week we'll talk about it again. Pick a Bible, pick a time, pick a place. How do I know it's God? Here's a second thought. If it's God I'm hearing, it'll make me more like Jesus. What I'm being told will make me more like Jesus. I love Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I always have. Let's study this for a second. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset or attitude as Christ Jesus. So we researched the word same in the Greek language. Do you know what the word same means in the Greek language? It means same. That's what it means. There's no leeway here. He doesn't say, I hope your attitude is similar to that of Jesus, or I hope your attitude is close to that of Christ. He doesn't say that. Your attitude, your mindset, the way you think is supposed to be exactly like an imitation of that of Jesus. So how you doing with that? I'm not doing so well. For the most part, I have a pretty good attitude in general, but things can test it, like traffic. I'm a bumper sticker reader. I'm fascinated by what people put on their cars. I think it's a reflection maybe of their mindset or life philosophy. But I'll be the first to admit, we don't need to be reading going 75 miles an hour. We're already texting and eating cereal. We can't do three things at one time. And plus, much of the stuff that we see, like on Facebook or bumper stickers, I truly don't care about. I don't care that you're a tolerant, gun control, Wiccan princess who loves her poodle and won't be here when the rapture happens. I don't care about that. But some bumper stickers have made me smile and have encouraged me. I picked out just a few, but I wanted to show you one that I saw recently I'd never seen before. But here's some others that I've seen. Watch out for the idiot behind me. It took me a long time to figure out they're talking about me. It did. I was an honor student. I don't know what happened. I like that. Honk if you love Jesus. Keep texting if you want to meet him. Jesus loves you, but can somebody put that on my car? But I'm his favorite. Here's the one I like. Lost your cat? Try looking under my tires. And here's the one I saw, and I'll tell you why this caught my attention. It's the opposite of one I've seen forever. I've seen on cars, have you spoke to God today? I've seen that. I've never seen this one. And I liked it. There's a twist. It's always, have you spoke to God today? Because most of us pray, and most of us talk to God. Have you heard from God today? How would you honestly answer that? Have you heard from God today? One way to know is what you're hearing will make you more like Jesus. I've watched preachers bowl people over and say, God was leading me to do this or say this, and in the end, they were self-righteous and egotistical and selfish and putting somebody down and just plain mean. That's not the voice of God. It's not. It'll make you more like Jesus. And here's a third thought, and I'll close with this. How do I know it's God? If it's God I'm hearing, my church family can confirm it for me. I got all these voices in my head. Don't you know through the years I've gotten all kinds of advice on how to preach? Most of it not good advice and given by people who would never, ever stand behind a pulpit. I've got voices in my head. I've got voices in the past. People have said things that have stuck with me. While I'm preaching to you, I've got this inner critic in my ear that won't shut up, talking to me all the time. You have to learn how to defy your inner critic. I mean, while I'm preaching. Rah, 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 rah. Try preaching with that in your ear. Rah, 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 rah. Well, they didn't like that joke. Rah, 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 rah. Well, what you just said didn't make a lick of sense, Mark. Rah, 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 rah. Won't shut up. Good job, Mark. You bored him to death. Rah, 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 rah. Oh, look at that scowl coming from the fourth pew. She thought that was inappropriate. Rah, 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 rah. Well, they think you should have quit 10 minutes ago. I mean, it's hard enough to preach. I got that going on. And if it's not the inner critic going in my ear while I'm preaching, there's another voice competing with the voice of God. I learned that watching Fred Flintstone. I did. He faced a moral dilemma, remember? Had that devil Fred and angel Fred giving him competing advice. And he had to decide which one am I going to listen to. quick Bible study before we close. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Wrong. She added that. The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." I always thought that everything went off the rails because Satan spoke to Eve. But that's not right. Verse 1, he said to the woman, that's how it started. This is the first conversation in the Bible. And I always thought, okay, there's where it started. There's where everything started to go south. But that ain't true. Started to go south with verse 2. The woman said to the serpent. That's where it started to go south. First dialogue. When you open yourself up to a dialogue with the enemy, you've already lost. So it would not have mattered what the serpent said to Eve had Eve not said to the serpent. Now let me make this point, and I want to be careful. This is why the Bible talks about Christians marrying Christians and about fellowshipping with people in your church. Don't get me wrong. And I've even married Christians to non-Christians with the hope that the good will bring, convert the one who doesn't know Jesus. And it's happened, but that's rare. That is rare. And I've told Christian people, yeah, go out with your non-Christian friends, but be, you know, be salt and light, be a good example, and maybe you can win them over. And occasionally that's happened, but again, that's rare. It's always easier to take someone downhill than up. And if that analogy doesn't work for you, the one I've used all these years, if I put a white glove on my right hand and I stick that glove in the mud and I pull out my hand, what happened to the glove? It got what? Muddy, right? Did the mud ever get glovey? It's just a question. Not one time did the mud get glovey. It's possible. It's rare. So I've surrounded myself through the years, and I'm not a stuck-up, nose-in-the-air person. I'm not. I love everybody. A non-Christian could walk in here with you, and I'd be just as good to them as I am to you. But for my own personal welfare, growth, and state of mind, I need people who have talked to the Lord, heard from the Lord, and can say to me, "Mark, the Lord's trying to tell you something." Before I came here, I wrestled. I did. And I called every preacher, and I said, "Listen, here's what I'm thinking, and here's what I'm feeling, and here's what people have said to me, and honestly, I don't know what God wants. I don't even know if God cares if I'm preaching in Cincinnati or in Indianapolis. I don't know. But I want to do what's the best thing and what he would want me to do." So I sought that kind of help out. You know why? Because when God calls them and God says, "Hey, you," they know who's calling. And I need that. I bet you do too. If it's God, your church family can confirm it. Let me close with this scripture. This is an awesome scripture. John 10, verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We have a farmer in the first service. His name is Lynn Wade. And I love it when people show me they've been listening. He went out the door and he said, "I want you to come to my house and I'm going to call my cows and they're going to come immediately. And you're going to watch them come and then I'm going to get them back in the field and then I want you to call them and see what happens." Because he knows those cows aren't going to come when I call. But they will immediately come when Lynn calls. Why is that? They're familiar with his voice. It was about 4 years ago, a little fella, 4 years old, named Sebastian, fell off a cliff in Bodega Bay, California, 522 feet. You'd think no way he survived, but he did. They put him in a medically induced coma, and he was in a coma for a long, long time. And when they brought him out, immediately, like a horror movie, in his mind, he's still fallen. So all that emotion and fear and the way he probably acted when he fell, he's doing now because coming out of this coma, he still thinks he's fallen. They could not get him calmed down. Only one thing got him calm and made it so that they could help him and make things smooth. Guess what that one thing was? Voice of his father. Voice of his father. Immediately, when he recognized his father's voice, everything was going to be okay. I've leaned on this scripture forever, and honestly, it's getting harder and harder to hear. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
That is because you are still and know that I am God.
Still, no, I'm God. I promise you, if you're not hearing from God, it's not because he's not been speaking to you. It's not. All the other voices in your life have drowned out the voice you need to hear the most.